Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Welcome to Ram Radio, the webcast, which is the Biblical Alternative. Here in the Lucy Goldman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on this June the 6th, 2013. I'm your host, the one that loves you the most, Pastor John. That's right. Used to be an evangelical, now just a pastor that loves God, loves the Lord, loves all of God's creation, His people. And I'm glad that you can join me for the webcast, which is the Biblical Alternative. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks, that we may give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence." Friends, you know where we live, don't you? You can't get away from it. You know the kind of world that we live in. We live in a world of professing Christians, but the true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. Now, I think that this is done through a divine absolutism, and it has to be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word apologetics speaks to these particular attributes. And for this end, am I here to speak to these attributes today? And what a wonderful day it is, because it's just going to be me and my gals in a few hours when I pick her up from the airport. That's right. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you don't know who my gals are, but I'm going to share with you exactly who my gals are. And as I share that with you, you're going to, I think, really appreciate the webcast today. All right, I'm just doing some studio things here, just leaning over, trying to keep my day focused in the way that it's supposed to be focused, because I'm going to play some music. My daughters will be together for the first time in an awful long time. And since they're coming together, we're going to probably go out to dinner and hang out with the grandchildren. This is going to be a John Coleman extravaganza. I remember when both of my daughters were born. You can see the picture on the website. The youngest one is my youngest daughter, and of course the oldest one is my oldest. Lucy's going on to be with God, and before Lucy left, she left me these two gems of children, these two wonderful, sweet, darling offspring of ours. From that union came these two. And since my oldest lives on the other side of the country and is doing an awful lot of, she's been to Washington, D.C. more than I've been to Beverly Hills. All right, dealing with that. And she's doing very well. God has been very gracious to me. Because, well, it hasn't been every day, because the older I get kind of forgetful to pray for them and ask God to continuously have mercy and bless them. My oldest, Delia, went through a tremendous difficulty health-wise. She broke an ankle, and that was horrible. And I didn't go visit her because I did a lot of, in the old-fashioned talk, sending up timbers for her. But God has blessed her. She's doing well, going back to work. Leslie is just doing fantastic, and the children are doing wonderful. God is good. God is good all the way around. And that's what this webcast is going to be about. The scripture that I'd like to lead off with will be one that you may not be very familiar with, but one that I like just the same. It's taken from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 27. It says, "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." And then verse 28 says, "Her children raise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.'" I was looking through my music to try to find the song that could best suit me greeting my daughters. And when I meet them, I am going to say this to them. And I think this is one of the finest ladies that can say it better than I can. Miss Aretha Franklin singing a number one of her older hits called "Baby, I Love You." This is dedicated to my daughters, Delia and Leslie, on this 6th day of June, 2013. Babies, I love you, babies.
Yeah. If you want my loving, if you really do,
this is good love.
Don't be afraid, yeah, baby. Just ask me.
Just ask your daddy, that's
I'm
right.
Gonna give it to you.
That's right. Gonna love my babies. Background on this, because see, some of you don't understand that. I love their mother. I loved her. And from the love that I had for my sweet Lucy, I had those two precious little gems. Now, I'm almost 70 years old, and they're in their 40s. And they're, wait a minute, Aretha, help me, baby, sing it. I know that's right. Just saying, babies, babies, babies,
baby,
I love you.
Ain't no doubt about it, baby, I love you.
Cause they love their daddy back. Babies, 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 I love you, love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, babies, I love you. Hey, y'all better get real with me today. You feel that way about your baby? Now, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. If you don't feel this about your children, if you can't pick the record, the funny little record that puts it right, listen, Aretha gets loud with it. Yeah. Come on, girl, sing.
Yeah.
Don't let your neighbor. Yeah, that is a thank you, thank you. That is the song that I would sing to my daughters. That's what I'm going to sing when I see them tonight together. And because of my misfortune, you know, I'm not able to travel the way I want to travel, to put them on a plane to go somewhere, and she's coming here, and I am happy this weekend. I am very, very happy. Now, I'm not finished, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to take that verse a little bit deeper, you know? And so let's take a look at that and see what this means. She is involved. Listen, Proverbs 31, 27, because this is real talk, right? This is Bible, real talk. And so, you know, I just give it a I don't want you to lose focus of why we're here. There it is. You know, I really don't want you to lose focus. You know, we're here for the right reasons. Real talk. I'm just talking about real talk from a daddy to his children after his wife has gone to heaven. Now, who started all this? Of course, we know that God did. But in Proverbs 31:27, the Lord is defining how beautiful it is when you have, well, a woman of wisdom in the house. In the house. I'm going to have to read this because I think that it's a dedication to Lucy, who left me the two girls that I'm with. Okay. I love the whole chapter, but I think I'm going to start at verse 20. Proverbs 31 and 20, if you have your Bibles. And I'm telling you that my wife fit all of these characteristics. Andalucía Guerrandola Monblanco Soledad, that's her name. She embodied all of these characteristics. That was the reason that I married her at 23. I saw those characteristics, I knew it, and I knew that the offspring from this woman and this decrepit ass man called John Goldman would spawn some of the finest children that any parent can be proud of. She extends her hand to the poor. That's Lucy. She stretches out her hands to the needy. That was my wife. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all our household are clothed with scarlet. Lucy kept her daughters looking good. Me, she left that to my associate pastor. She makes coverings for herself. That was my wife. She did that. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. As a matter of fact, that was Lucy's favorite colors. Verse 23, I come into the picture. Her husband is known in the gates. Oh, yeah, they know of me. They know of John Coleman, the biblical alternative, when he sits amongst the elders of the land. There's not too many of us left, but they still respect me. Then it goes back to the woman. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Oh, isn't that something? Because, see, my wife wasn't the kind of woman that you would see her walking in the church because she was dressed better than anyone else. No, no, no. It was the power that raised these two girls that I'm going to see tonight. You understand? This is what life is all about. This is real talk here. I'm not playing games. Ah, listen. She opens her mouth. Verse 26, in wisdom. That was my wife. And the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. The only time she used bad language was when she was getting me right, if you get my drift. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Oh, no. Lucy was never a lazy woman. And the only time that she looked at TV a lot is when she was ill and just couldn't get around. So she had her programs, her daily soap operas. I should not have chided her for watching that too much. But you see, I was too over evangelistic with my stuff. I wanted everybody to be on the same spiritual level I thought myself to have been on. Have you ever been there? Her children, verse 28. They raise up to bless her. Now, let me comment on that, because when we get together, I want to stop right there at verse 28. And I'm going to give you an idea of what it's going to be like when my girls get together with me. I want to give you an idea of that, and the only way that I can give you an idea of that is to express it this way. I was thinking about what kind of record could I play to that would express to you what's going to go on between me and my daughters tonight, because, you know, I'm fluid and transparent. A lot of you want to know about Pastor John. How is Pastor John doing? how is it going to be when he gets with his daughters? Well, I'm going to give you an inside secret to this, and I hope that this will cause you to enjoy your evening as I am enjoying mine. But this is what it's going to be like. And let me tell you where this cut is coming from. It's coming from a cut called Prestige Profiles, an album by Miles Davis. This one right here is called I Could Write a Book. And John Coltrane on the tenor sax, but you're not going to hear John Coltrane. You're going to hear Red Garland at the piano, Paul Chambers on the bass, and Billy Lee Jones on the drum. I don't think Coltrane plays on this cut, but I Could Write a Book. Now, when you listen to this jazz number, and it's going to be a little bit, okay? As you listen to it, you're going to hear each of the instruments chitter-chattering with each other. This is what this evening is going to be like when Adelia, Leslie, and Daddy and the grandbabies hook up. Just me saying hello to them. So glad that their flight was nice. Ask them, are they gonna rest up this weekend, or what are we going to do? Just small talk taking place. That's what I'm gonna start off doing. Then there's gonna be somebody else coming in saying, but Daddy, listen to me. See, this is chatter coming back at me. Yeah. Listen. This is a second person talking, but you're going to hear a third person bursting in the conversation, trying to take charge of it, because since they're both women, they're going to try to control, well, how we going to hang out with Daddy and what we going to do. Here's the other person talking. See, this is each chapter in the book being written. That's why this number is called I Could Write a Book. Because that's what we do when we hook up. When the Coleman clan hooks up, you can write a book about what's being stated in the room. That's the joy. The joy of having family. You hear the grandchildren coming in the background? See? Because they want to be heard too. Oh, we could write a book. I don't know about you and your family, but me and mine can. Ah, now somebody's bringing in talking about the past. See how the mood changed? See, but then somebody livens it back up again. He said, we're going to forget that. We're going to let the past stay where it is. Stay there. Each chapter being written in this book. Jazz, the music of the black community, is the music that carries you along when you flow into it. God's involved in that, because God is involved in the arts. You got to be real enough to understand what jazz is for. That's right. Listen. Yeah. Somebody that took over the conversation and went all over here with it. See, they're angry now. They're spewing out all this anger, but let's see. I can write a book. It becomes more intense right now. That's right. Give me some volume, engineer. Come on. John Coltrane. saxophone, the greatest saxophonist that has ever lived. Just a few seconds, but I had to pause the music because some of you that are listening to this webcast are saying, what has gotten in to Pastor John? Listen, this is for people that want to relax and listen to good classical jazz music and listen to what's going on in PJ's life. His daughters are coming to town. He is grateful to God to meet with his daughters. This is the kind of music he would love to be listening to, though he know he will not, because he will be in someone else's home tonight. But if my daughters were here with me, they'd be listening to this kind of music, and that tenor saxophone that you heard that came in this scenario of conversation that is going on, because the number is called, I could write a book. John Coltrane is now playing the sax. Well, that's my voice, overshadowing everything that the girls have said and thought, because I'm still planting in them the necessity to follow God and to follow his instructions and to put him first in everything. I won't be in my robe. I won't be in my collar. I will not have a church behind me, and I haven't had these two young ladies together since I've been a retired pastor. So I want you to listen to the music. I'm going to start it back up again, and I hope that I don't lose the rest of you during this webcast. But I put a lot of thought into this, and I have a special number at the end that I want to play by Eric Reed. So let's get back into Coltrane. And I'll be back a little bit later. Listen to the basses. Chambers. Listen to what he does. On the drums in the background is Philly Joe Jones. To listen, to hear everything. Listen. Just close your eyes. You can be right in the studio with them. Yeah. That's beautiful. My drift. When I hang out with my daughters tonight, that's the atmosphere that it's going to be in. That's the way I'm going to be feeling. You know, here again, I was thinking, because I can't stop thinking, that many of you might say, John, you are not the same. I am the same preacher. That's the way I was way back when I was preaching those sermons. I've always liked good jazz. But you know what? I was talking with a friend of mine. And for those of you that think that you are going to evangelize an America that doesn't want to hear a message about salvation, about living for the Savior, and America has gone down morally. And there's nothing sinful about listening to good jazz, especially if it introduces you and reminds you of the culture that you grew up in. But at least give due respect to the masters. These guys playing music there. Coltrane, Red Garland, Paul Chambers, Philly Joe Jones. And guess how we were treated back in the day? Could barely get a decent hotel room. But they played. This is a classic. I could write a book. Well, have I bored you enough about with my family and all of that? I hope that I haven't. I really hope that you gained something out of that little short tidbit of music that we have there. I have one more that I'd like to share with you from the album called Stand by Eric Reed. Eric Reed has greatly influenced me over the years when it comes to jazz, and because when I think of Eric Reed, I think of his the time that he here it is. There's a cut on here. 2, 3, 4. No, I got it. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8. That's the wrong one. I'll find it. There's one that I want to play for you. Let me do this. Be right back. I plan to end up my discussion tonight with my daughters by sharing a little bit of Proverbs 31 with them. Even if I don't pull out the word, I'm going to be sharing about my webcast and ask them to check out the webcast, and so that they can really pick up an idea of really how much their dad loves them and how pleased he is with them. And of all the music that I've been able to find in my library, and I have an extensive amount of music, you probably know that by now, and that's what driven some of you from not liking me, because you don't like the Pastor John that I really am. And that's unfortunate, because I still love God, believe in His word, but I'm not going to live in a facade for anyone. I love the arts. I've always loved them. I will always love the arts. And I would trust that the arts would always be a part of my life. And upon my departure from this life, I know that my daughters are going to remember that, because they've already told me what they're going to do with my goodbye ceremony. Yep. Yeah, they tickle me. They said that they're going to give me two. One that the evangelicals would appreciate, and one that John's true friends would appreciate. And I often ask them, what do they mean by that? And they said, Daddy, your true friends will love you, and they will want to know who you are. And when they see you manifesting the same God, the same word, the same truth of scriptures, and you being so transparent and real, that, they said, would be a funeral that anyone would want to attend. Because they were saying that PJ was real in everything that he did. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? So I think that this record kind of like wraps it up. Mm-hmm. Starts off with one key. It sounds like it's going to be very religious, but it's not. It's a number by Eric Reed called Adoratio, or Adoration. It's 4 minutes and 9 seconds, taken from his Stand album. And Eric wrote Adoration because he adores the thought of God and what it means. A jazz musician that's played all over the world, whose father was a pastor, who is a good friend of mine. We love the arts. He's played with the best jazz artists. And he loves him some Pastor John, because Pastor John loves the jazz and understands it. Now, that's going to be a part of me on Real Talk Radio. I'm not going to play with it. That's who I am. I'll play my music for you, and I'll share certain parts of my life. But is that not just what God has asked us to each do as we live for Him? Nothing different. Show Him adoration. How much we adore Him. By how much we implore Him in all that we do. Ain't it just like me? Me and my girls hanging out tonight. That's adoration for God and for what He started way back 1967 up until right now. I adore God. I will always extol His name. He is worthy to be praised. To let me see the offspring of my wife together in anyone's room is so much joy to this old man's heart. I hope that you can be happy with me as I celebrate what God has done. No big event. It's not Christmas. It's not Easter. It's not a birthday. It's just family coming together. Coming together to talk, to hug, to look deep down into the eyes, and to remember everything. We only got one life. Thank you for letting me share with you this very important event with my children. God bless you and thank you for coming to my website. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay in that word. God bless.